Idly hey.
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished.
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a pop culture podcast. And here we interview your favorite actors from film and television and so many other places. And we have a very special guest today. We are talking about a brand new film, Heart of Champions, and there is an amazing cast in this film. This is, like, I think, one of the best films. I mean, there's been a lot of content coming out this year, but this has to be one of the best, in my opinion. And we are chatting with David James Elliott about the film and all of these amazing things. David, welcome into the show. It's great to have you.
Great. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me. Nice to be here.
Yes. Well, you are in this film with, I mean, you are fantastic, of course, but then the cast that you're with is fantastic as well. Let's talk about the project and how you became involved with it and what your hope is for folks when they have the privilege of watching it.
First I got the script. I got an offer came in, read the script. I thought the script was great. And Michael Shannon was in it. And I leapt at the chance to be in a movie with Michael. I've long been a fan. So that was, then I said, hey, listen, I'll leave tomorrow. You know, I'll come in early just to hang out.
I love it.
Great cast, Michael, Alexander Ludwig, and an old friend, Michael Mailer, directed the picture. It was a terrific bunch of guys. It's a film about collegiate rowing and life lessons. And it was a really good story and with a bunch of great players. So why wouldn't I want to be a part of that? You know?
Yeah. And I tell you right now, we are just in this time, it seems, where content is just available in so many different places. And there's a lot of things to watch. But I think for me, what it comes down to as a consumer is it good? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can put out anything, any time of the day, any time of the week, but this project is spectacular, and I think, you know, when people get a chance to see it, if they haven't already, are just going to be really pleased with it. I mean, did you get this all wrapped and in the can prior to the pandemic, during the pandemic?
Yeah, just prior to the pandemic. By probably a month, we got that done, because I went from that to another movie, Lansky, and right at the end of that, the pandemic hit, but same producers. So yeah, we were able to shoot this, before, you know, this, the new normal, inflicted itself on us, which was nice, you know. We were able to put the money in the picture and not so much in all the other, you know, things that come along with this, pandemic, testing and masks and all the other madness and a whole other wing of people that you now need to employ on a film. But I agree with you about content too. Yeah, there's a lot of avenues for content, but not all the content is good. But I think this is a really terrific picture. It's a great story with a great cast. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about Lansky, because we had David Cade on for that, for Lansky.
I think I cut out of this mostly, though, sadly. I think, David is resting on an editing room floor somewhere on this one. But David and I are good friends now, probably lifelong pals. I talk to him almost every day, and I met him on this picture, you know. Lansky was another great film, man, and it has done gangbusters, and what a terrific opportunity. I work with Michael Shannon, and then I go work with Harvey Keitel. Right after that, I got Heels, and I played Alexander Ludwig's father in Heart of Champions. I play his father in Heels too. It's my new career playing Xander.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that because, I mean, you've been a part. I like it that you're at least you're like, you know what? I'm playing fathers now. This is kind of my, it's not typecasting, but it's kind of like, hey, David, you look like a dad. So let's get you in there and play a father.
As long as the dad role is interesting, I'm in, you know, as long as there's an arc and the character is interesting. Recently, I've been playing somewhat abusive fathers, which is a nice departure from playing heroes and good guys for most of my early career, you know. And right now, I'm working on a movie. I'm in South Carolina shooting a movie with Paul Bettany. So now, you know what? I'm living my dream, man. I'm working with all my favorite players right now. So thrilled, man. Thrilled.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, when I found out we had an opportunity to speak with you, I jumped on it immediately because, I mean, I still am, but for a long time was a fan of JAG and NCIS and all of these projects that you've been a part of. You've been an actor for a very long time. And
100 years.
How many?
100.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I just kind of said, you know, for a very long time, he's like, easy now, come on, this interview was going really good, but let's not put me on the scene that long. I'd be 90 years old. Well, Harmon Rabb, of course, you know, and then Commander Rabb and all of these things that I think most people will recognize you from. But let's talk about your actor's journey. When this all started for you, what was it that gave you the bug to want to be an actor? What was the interest? All the way back to Police Academy too. I completely forgot about that. So
Police Academy 3.
Yes.
I went to theater school. I did a lot of theater. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I was at a crossroads. I tried rock and roll. I found it disconcerting to have to rely on other people to be a part of my dream, you know. So I quit school to make Gova Band. The band failed. I left, and we were reading King Lear in school. I went back to school. We were reading King Lear, and the teacher said, "You should be an actor." And I thought, okay, let me try that one. And I went to theater school. I wound up doing, you know, I fell in love with it, man. It was it spoke to me. I'd always, you know, I'm a writer. I still write and I do a lot of things. I play music, but this was just something that I found spoke to me on every level. And so, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to have made a living at it since I started. So, you know, no going back now. Right?
No. Yeah, you're kind of like in it at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that brings me to one last question or two here. I know we have a tight schedule. You're in production right now, so we thank you again for making time. Did you have a job when you started out that you enjoyed doing, that you were good at? Or was it like, I'm doing this to just pay the bills, but God help me or whatever, I hope I can do this and make a decent living at it, which you clearly have now. But, you know, 100 years ago, as you said, when you first started.
Listen, I went to college, just over 3 years of theater school. I got out, I went right into the Stratford Shakespeare Festival Company. I was there for a couple of years. That was 9 months of work each season. Then I would do a piece of theater in between. I was up in Canada at the time, and there wasn't a lot of television or film being shot in those days. There is now, but back then there was. If you were on television, you worked for the CBC. That was it. So it was mostly theater, and I made a living in theater. And I struggled, and obviously, you know, there were some lean periods, but by and large, you know, I always had the attitude that no matter what happened, how many times I got knocked down, I was going to keep getting up and keep going forward. And eventually, I moved to LA in '89, and you know, initially, I did very well. And then it was a long dry spell. And then I scored a television series called The Untouchables. And, you know, then I started doing arcs and this and that. And there's peaks and valleys, man. But overall, I've been extremely fortunate and very thankful and full gratitude for all the good fortune I've had. And I work hard. I work toward it. And, you know, I've always tried to keep a positive attitude. So,
yeah, it seems like Canada, and we've had several actors on for CBC shows, Heartland and a bunch of other things that have been on for like 15 plus seasons. But it seems like Canada now really is becoming the hot spot for filming in Vancouver and all these other places where people can come and do production. And even to the point now sometimes where it's hard for them to even staff them because there's so many people coming there now to film. And it has to be great for everybody there involved to be able to have that work coming in. One last question. I would be remiss to my listeners if we didn't talk about JAG and NCIS. Huge for you. When you landed that role and it started out, you know, as here, there, or the other, and then you essentially became a series regular and were a part of that story. Let's talk about that time frame. And for you as an actor, you had mentioned the fact that you, when you started, you were doing this, that, and the other, and then you landed these types of roles where you were on all the time. As an actor, is that has to be satisfying to know that, not that you're just good, but you're amazing, and you just have landed something that's going to be a part of, you know, pop culture history, so to speak.
Never know what you're getting, what you got, how long it's going to last. And even on JAG, you know, listen, it was an amazing opportunity. I was number one on the call sheet. I was in everything all the time. The show went through sort of many iterations before it really ultimately found itself. But it was on NBC first, eventually landed on CBS, and went another 9 seasons. But we never knew from season to season. We got 1 year, we got a 2-year pickup. But prior to that, it was always, will we get the next pickup? And, you know, we went 10 years ultimately, but that was 1 year at a time, you know. And I remember when we started, we went to dinner with Tom Selleck, because Don Belisario created Magnum PI. And he had Tom come and sit down to dinner. Tom and another actor, but I spent time talking to Tom, and Magnum had gone 9 years, and I said, what's the secret, man? You went 9 years. Oh my God. You know, and we wound up doing one more, but he said, just, you know, put your best foot forward every day and find something you can hang your hat on. And I thought, I don't know what the hell that means, but but put my best foot forward. And I figured out what he meant by find something you can hang your hat on, you know. Best advice I ever got. And Tom is a wonderful guy, and I've bumped into him many times since then. And always good to see him, always friendly. He always remembers me. And, you know, that was, that's the key, I think, you know, keep a positive attitude, put your best foot forward every day. Don't phone it in. I never did on JAG. I never will. And stay positive.
Yeah, and it's now in the archives of American pop culture and still streams all the time. I mean, you can literally go
today on television. From the first, I was 34. Good God, man. I'm going, who the hell is that guy? Look at that handsome devil. Young.
I love it.
I stayed away from mirrors the rest of the day.
I love it. Such a great show. We have been chatting with David James Elliott, star of this brand new film, Heart of Champions, which is available now everywhere to stream. And of course, if you haven't watched NCIS or JAG or any of the other Scoundrels, I mean, the list goes on and on. Be sure to check all of that out. David, thanks for joining us in the middle of production. I appreciate it.
Thank you. See you later, Brad.
That brings today's show to a close.
Doodly-doo.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.